Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
See, 7:10 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yeah, as David was just mentioning, Lieutenant Caleb Champion is from Milton. He's going to be flying the F-35, the Warhawks fly F-35s. So if you're watching, I think it'll only be the one F-35 is my suspicion. It'll probably lead the V formation if they do it that way. So you can look up and see the first plane will be the Milton kid. I love that. That's great. No, not the same person who shot down the drone off the Abraham Lincoln in the Med, or the Arabian Gulf. So, different person, I would assume, different person. He's stationed at Lemoore and, they're on the carrier. Yesterday, I brought a story to you that I found particularly interesting. I talked about the Board of Governors for the West Florida Library System that had voted to prohibit guns in the libraries. Remember we talked about this yesterday? Well, I've done a little bit more research, and I had this, the story wasn't wrong, but actually, it looks like maybe the newer version of the rights and responsibilities list is simultaneously more restrictive and also less restrictive. Okay, because if you go back and compare the one that was in place all of 2025 through January of this year, just said you should expect an environment free of weapons. And the way I read that is that the whole library was a weapon-free zone. You know, no guns it would be included in that. The current version of that says firearms and weapons are not permitted inside the library except as allowed by state law. Now, I think the better version of this is just to not say it or to say something like this. Firearms are allowed unless prohibited by state law. Is true. I don't know why they have to say firearms, but in any case, it almost looks like because of the allowed by state law portion, it's almost a hedge, like that's almost a softening of the policy, even though this one now explicitly says firearms and the old one did not. The fact that it allows, we can only go as far in prohibiting them as state law allows us. Well, state law allows you. So really the phrase is empty. Firearms are only prohibited to people who are not allowed to own firearms. And then the issue is, well, you can't own firearms. So, if you would have been eligible to have a concealed carry permit, then you're allowed to carry a firearm. Anyway, so I read it just a little bit different that maybe the decision here was to align the sort of anti-weapons policy with a recognition that people are actually allowed to carry them. The second part about library staff may contact law enforcement if an individual fails to comply with applicable state law or library policy. You're threatening to call the cops on people who are carrying legally. But again, the sort of hedge words are built in there. Anyone who fails to comply with applicable state law, which if you're legally carrying, then you're legally carrying, and so it wouldn't be an issue. I'm kind of curious how this plays out on the ground. What I would prefer to see is the library board just take away the policy. If you can't say anything clearly that's legal, then don't say anything at all. And that would probably be a better way to go for them. So we'll see how this plays out over the course of the next few days or months. 4-3, I would expect at their next meeting they're going to take this up because, I'm not the only one who has raised this as an issue. I'm just the only one in media who's raised this as an issue. And I am confident that they are hearing. I'll put it that way. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, somebody asked me, how was the blue cheese on my tacos? You know what? I love John Hutchinson. I didn't like it.
You didn't?
No, I wasn't a fan. Okay. I went right back to Monterey Jack or something, I think so, yesterday. But I tried it. And I don't mind that. So 437-1620, 437-16. Oh, somebody texted and says, I went to high school with Lieutenant Champion, the F-35 pilot from Milton. He is the sweetest, and his family's so sweet and wholesome. He's not surprised at all that he's accomplished this. How wonderful, so exciting. Oh, that's so cool.
See, that's awesome.
That's There's a lot of reasons why I love this area. You know, obviously the beach is great, the Blue Angels, the Navy Museum, you know, Palo Fox. There's all kinds of great things here. But I've always said that the thing that really makes this area so great is all the churches, you know, all the givers, the decent people who serve, and all the ministries that help people aside from churches. But it's just that. It's the sort of Southern hospitality and an openness to people who aren't from here. You know, you guys welcome me, and I'm not from here. You know.
We know. Don't repeat that.
Hey. And I, you know, it's a cosmopolitan area with all the military, retired military, all of that. And, you know, one of the things I know people have said about, you know, Chief Winstrom coming from Grand Rapids is, well, I don't know about a guy coming from up north, you know, Chicago and Grand Rapids. I'm from the Midwest. I'm from Chicago. You know, don't hold that against him. I'm sure that will not be an issue. We're not Alabama. I mean, tell me I'm wrong. Can you come from the north and relocate to Montgomery and be accepted?
No.
No? You know. In fact, that was, you know, anyway, it's a long story. The Florida Doge report is out. Oh, my God. Actually, let's do traffic on the fives first. John?
That's right. Brought to you by the Florida West Economic Development Alliance. They work to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grows Escambia County's tax base. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you. I-10 eastbound right around the Highway 29 exit. Starting to see some minor delays. And also Highway 90 coming into Pensacola. You're going to see about a seven-minute delay. I'm John Piggins with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you need any work done inside your home with plumbing, air conditioning, heating, electrical, generator, any of that kind of stuff, if you got a problem or you want to make an improvement, fix something, whatever it is, Peden will take care of you. Ever since 1969, Robert Peden started his company in Panama City, expanded. Of course, they've been in Pensacola for a long time. They've been all the way east to Tallahassee. They're in Mobile now in Baldwin County as well. So they're all across the state and across the state line. Anywhere on the Gulf Coast, good quality installation of good products by qualified people who will 100% satisfaction guarantee the work. And right now, Peden wants you to beat the annual regulatory price bump for air conditioning if you need one. The Peden's New Year Old Stock Sale. Take up to $1,500 off remaining 2025 air conditioning systems before they're gone. Call or book online, at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com. All right, the Florida Doge Report. You remember last summer, 4 months ago, I guess, the CFO and the governor were attacking everybody for wasting your money. And they gave these ridiculous examples, and they sent their Doge team, their crack team of 23-year-olds, not exaggerating, they were actually 22, I think. So, you know, a little. Anyway, around to be taught how local government works so that they could compile a list of evidence to use in their enemy's list attack, that then they could do press conferences and pretend that they were doing some serious work exposing the fraud and the waste and the graft and all this going on in your. And there may be some somewhere, but I, you know, when it comes to like the Pensacola city government, you know, I know a guy. I know some of these people. And I'm like, none of this looks right. And do you remember they had the Florida, like the Pensacola welcome sign was in there? And it turns out that the welcome sign was actually paid by FDOT. So the Doge report, the allegations were that, see, Pensacola's wasting all this money on a sign that, oh, we paid for. Crap. So I've now read the report. I don't think they were ever going to come out with a report, frankly. I think that maybe enough of us were kept saying, where's the report? Where's the report? Where's the report? And finally, like, oh, I guess we better write something. Oh, did they? Listen, I can say this as a qualified expert on the quality of writing that you can expect at certain age levels. This thing reads like a freshman political manifesto from some kid who's just gotten out of high school long enough to know how to put the English language together, but not well. It's so much not an analytical financial document or anything else. I mean, the thing, I'll just read you just a little bit of this. It's embarrassingly bad. Let's see. Where's the beginning? The Florida Doge Initiative, I'm skipping the first paragraph. The Florida Doge Initiative delivers value to Floridians by, air quotes, opening the books. On local government. You have the books that are already open to the public? What do you mean? And what is it in air quotes? Are you being sarcastic? I don't understand. Opening books on local government spending and applying consistent data-driven methodologies to evaluate how taxpayer dollars, and it goes on. But that first part cracked me up. Let's see. Overview of the findings. Under the leadership of Governor Ron DeSantis, the state of Florida has enacted disciplined budgets, coming in well under the baseline of fiscally responsible budget of $126.69 billion based on applying the increase of population. Okay, fine. That's okay, saying that we're doing it well. And then when you start to get down to where the individual cities or individual municipalities, it's a political hit piece. I mean, we knew it was, but like the background, Florida was Doge before Doge was cool, as Governor DeSantis has explained. It's the hard-hitting financial analysis. And indeed, Florida's free state of Florida label could easily be re-envisioned as the Doge state of Florida. But when it gets to actually talking about, there's page 12, FAFO. You know what that means, right, John? Fool around,
yes,
and find
I
out,
do.
But it's not fool?
Right,
okay.
It's not fool.
In parallel with Florida Doge, CFO Blaise Ingoli established his own initiative to highlight the wasteful, excessive spending practices of local governments. His initiative, Florida Agency for Fiscal Oversight, FAFO. I mean, so when you actually get down to the part about Pensacola, you have to wade quite a ways into it to get to that part. The very first thing that they spend the most of their time on is, I kid you not, the drag queen Christmas show.
No.
It didn't even exist until 4 months after the team came around. And it's not even something that is funded by the city. It's funded by the people who bought tickets to the show. But it's all about DEI and fiscal mismanagement and outspending the pace of population growth and inflation, they claim. And I don't necessarily agree with them. But okay. And then that's the first thing. The big ding on Pensacola is, how dare they? And there's some other stuff in here as well, but you would draw the impression that Pensacola, their big flaw is that they had this drag queen Christmas show at the Sanger Theater that wasn't even in the report. By the way, the mention of the Florida Pensacola welcome sign, interesting, they didn't mention that anymore.
They didn't?
Yeah, the thing that's, not a problem, they just left out of the report, even though many, many times they went in public and talked about how bad this is. Okay, other elements. The if you really want to understand this thing, this is a political theater, political theater, not as apolitical. But the idea here is they really want to get rid of cities. You read all the way down to the end, at the very end of it, and it says Florida should review the 411 municipalities for potential opportunities to provide local government services more efficiently through abolition, as in to de-incorporate. Or disincorporate, or consolidation, as in to meld with the county, which people do talk about that here periodically. That's the state, with particular attention paid to small municipalities and highly urbanized counties. Consideration should be given to creating incentives to encourage the simplification of local government through the consolidation of municipalities. So the point of this, in part, is to make political points, score political points, is to, dramatize something that's really not all that dramatic. And then also is as a pretext to maybe some kind of sweeping effort to get rid of cities and towns in Florida, which kind of fits with, remember the bill we talked about yesterday, overruling and preempting even retroactively all the zoning in residential areas, getting rid of property taxes. If you're, it's like you have the defund the policing. This is defund the cities, but it's also the counties. And best as I can read this, there's apparently a movement to kind of make Florida just a state that doesn't have cities. Maybe they don't even want to have counties. I don't know what the end goal here is if we're talking about eliminating layers of government, but take it this way. If you feel like Tallahassee is super responsive to your local community needs, then we should be all in with defund the cities, defund the counties, get rid of them, all of this stuff, eliminate the zoning. But if, everybody, you feel that maybe local government should be responsive to the people that it governs, as in the locals, the closer it is to you, the better it's going to be, the more accountable it is to meet you, the more input you have on it, the better you can shape it through elections or showing up at the, do you want to go to Tallahassee to make your point about public forum, about some proposed legislation that you don't like? Because that seems to be the end state that they're aiming at, is something like that. Maybe not full disincorporation of all your cities and your towns, but they kind of wish. They seem to kind of wish. And I understand there are some parts of the state where, you know, it's more obnoxious or offensive to, you know, conservative sensibilities. But, you know, local government and accountable government and smaller government is actually also a fairly important conservative sensibility. And I'm just telling you that many of the Republicans in Tallahassee seem to have completely forgotten all of that. 437-1620, 437-1620. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Culver's. Try the club chicken sandwich and sign up for the Welcome to Delicious app. Cordova Mall, Mobile Highway, and Milton. Culver's, welcome to Delicious. Still reporting accident-free right now and starting to see the delays pile up on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect about a 9-minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola. Expect a 12-minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you are 64 turning 65 and you're going to switch over onto Medicare, call Ricky Stewart. I know you've got questions. I know you feel like it's a little bit stressful. It's people are maybe calling you or sending you emails or letters and you're trying to pressure you into something or other. And you just want to know, what's Medicare Advantage? How does it apply to me? What is supplement? What about Medicaid? Does that apply to me? How will I know? I've got, you know, what plan do I sign up for prescription drugs? You know, what kind of income things does it have to be? I don't know. That's why you call Ricky. Because she's really good at this. Her whole family does insurance. She does just this one part, helps people with their Medicare stuff, and she can answer all your questions. I just got a note from somebody the other day. It's like, oh, thank you, Andrew. Thank you for talking about Ricky. She's so great. I'm so glad that we had her. She walked us through it all. It was very easy, but, you know, it had been kind of stressful, and she took care of us, no problem. And that's the point. I hear that from people all the time. 341-2185 for Ricky Stewart Insurance, or look online at InsuredByRicky, RICKI.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Allow me to give you four get-along statements from Philippians chapter 2. Statement number one, have the same love. The Bible tells us to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. Statement number two, obey the prohibition against strife and vainglory. Essentially, God says stop it. Statement number three, have a humble heart. The Bible calls it lowliness of mind. Statement number four, stop looking at how to help yourself and start looking at how to help others. If you'll practice these four principles in your workplace, in your marriage, or in any human relationships, you will find them to be four very effective get-along principles.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Atlas Beverage Class, dinner and an aria at Jackson's, Pensacon at the Fish House, Valentine's Day at the Great Southern, and so much more. Today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Saturday morning, get your run on in the Double Bridge Run, one of the premier 15K races in the country, going across Pensacola Bay and Santa Rosa Sound. It gets underway at 7. See PensacolaSports.org. It's Mardi Gras fun in Navarre. Saturday beginning at 1 with the annual Crew of Jesters Navarre Mardi Gras Parade. The theme this year is the celebration of 250 years of American independence. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
There you have it.
Wakanda forever! Wakanda forever!
My life be like. Ooh, yeah, ooh. My life be like.
Good morning, 728 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Trump is again calling for the federal government to play a bigger role in U.S. elections. The president said if states can't run elections fairly, then he believes Washington should step in. The White House did clarify that he was pointing to the SAVE Act, which would require voters to show ID before casting a ballot rather than a full federal takeover of elections. Several political leaders are calling for Casey Wasserman to step down from the Los Angeles 2028 Olympic Organizing Committee. Apparently, His name appeared in newly released Epstein files documents showing flirtatious email exchanges with Epstein associate Ghislaine Maxwell, who's currently serving a prison sentence after being convicted of child sex trafficking. The head of Netflix is pushing back against claims the company has a political agenda. Co-CEO Ted Sarandos testified on Capitol Hill Tuesday. Lawmakers were questioning a possible acquisition involving Warner Brothers and HBO.
Our goal is to win the moment of truth. That's when Americans sit in their couch, pick up their remote control, and decide what to watch. That's where we compete.
And some Republicans had raised concerns about woke content on the streaming giant.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, you know, it's funny. Somebody texted me the exact same thought I had. We should run the Doge report through an AI detector to see if they, because it reads like bad AI wrote it. And you know how they do that for anti-cheating stuff to make sure that, you know, you're not falsifying your papers. I want to find out if they used AI to write the silly thing.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. More than 100 investigators on the case in Tucson, Arizona, trying to bring the mother of today's show co-host Savannah Guthrie back home. Police believe the 84-year-old Nancy Guthrie was taken against her will, and now an unverified ransom note has been sent to TMZ and other media outlets.
The note, they say, demanded millions in cryptocurrency for the safe return of Nancy Guthrie by a stated deadline. They report the note contained specific information about the crime scene and Nancy that is not known to the public.
Fox's Lisa Acuna in Tucson. The Afghan national accused of ambushing Washington, West Virginia National Guard members near the White House the day before Thanksgiving, set to be arraigned today in D.C. He's facing 9 charges, including first-degree murder. Army Specialist Sarah Beckstrom was killed. Air Force Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf was shot in the head, still recovering. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's a nice start to the day. We've got a little bit of light rain on and off, 59 degrees, cloudy skies. We will check in with Channel 3 meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
Did you say it was a nice day out? It's raining.
It's warm.
All right, go on.
Look, would you take 59 and some light rain, or would you take 30 and no rain?
All right. Fair enough.
Okay. We'll check in with Brooke Richardson and see how long that rain's going to stick around here in just a couple of minutes. Pensacola's getting a new police chief. Mayor D.C. Reeves has selected Eric Winstrom, who currently serves as the police chief in Grand Rapids, Michigan. If approved by the city council, Winstrom would take over March 2nd. He began his law enforcement career with Chicago Police Department back in the year 2000. He spent 21 years there, became the chief in Grand Rapids in 2022. We'll talk to Mayor Reeves on this program here later this morning to discuss that decision. Naval Air Station Pensacola is reopening its public areas today after a brief closure tied to the government shutdown. Public access was suspended on Saturday, but resumed after President Trump signed that funding bill on Tuesday. Public areas on base are now open and from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. daily, with entry through the West Gate at the south end of Blue Angel Parkway. A long-running debate over beach access on Perdido Key is heading to the Escambia Board of Commissioners tomorrow. Commissioners will be discussing customary use rights for the first time since the state changed the law last year. The issue has divided the beachfront community, with some condo owners pushing to protect private property rights, while others argue that the public should have access to dry sand areas. Commissioner Steve Stroberger discussed the issue at his town hall last week. He says he's worried about the financial and legal burden of enforcing customary use.
I don't like it looking like a war zone down there with all the crime scene tape and stuff like that. And I don't know what started all this, but I know that the commissioners that were down there before were both on opposite sides of this issue.
Stroberger, again, talked at a town hall last week, said he favors alternative options, including potentially partnerships with state parks. The committee of the whole meeting begins tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. In South Florida, a Broward County congresswoman has pleaded not guilty to charges that she stole millions in government funds. Democrat Representative Sheila Sheriffless McCormick is accused of diverting $5 million in disaster and COVID-19 relief money to her family's health care company. The 15-count indictment alleges some of that money was used to fund her 2021 congressional campaign, and about $100,000 went towards a 3-carat diamond ring. According to The Hill, a House Ethics Subcommittee is pursuing possible campaign finance violations as well. Escambia County will honor one of Pensacola's most distinguished military heroes next week. Commissioners are planning to proclaim February 11th as General Daniel Chappie James Day. James was born and raised in Pensacola, became the first African-American 4-star general in U.S. history. He was a Tuskegee Airman. He flew combat missions in Korea, Vietnam, and later served as the commander of NORAD. James broke racial barriers throughout his career. He remains a symbol of leadership and perseverance. He passed away in 1978. It's 7:35, and let's get an update on our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Still seeing those construction delays. Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile Road. Back to 12-minute delay. And Highway 90 south coming into Pensacola. See you. About a 9-minute delay in that area, but Avalon Boulevard southbound coming to I-10, expect a 15-minute delay, just congestion in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing rain as we go through those morning hours. Temperatures warming up near 62 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures starting to fall back near 35 degrees. For Thursday, sunny skies, high near 51. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 35. Going into Friday, sunny skies, high near 61. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 44. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got, 59 degrees right now. Here across the area with a little bit of light rain. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. ADP reports that private companies added just 22,000 positions for January. The total was less than the downwardly revised 37,000 increase in December and below the consensus forecast for 45,000. The report starts 2026 off in basically the same spot where we ended 2025, a lackluster job market in a low-hire, low-fire environment. Following the acquisition of XAI, SpaceX is valued at $1.25 trillion, just 26% below Tesla's current market cap. On paper, Musk now derives more of his net worth from SpaceX than from Tesla. Pinterest CEO Bill Reedy has lashed out at staffers who created an internal tool to track layoffs at the company and fired those involved. The company announced last week that it would lay off less than 15% of its workforce and cut back on office space as part of a broader restructuring. Futures are currently mixed. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 166. That's Your Money Now.
Come on. Come on. Start.
Looking for reliable auto repairs without breaking the bank?
Well, yeah.
At Affordable Automotive, we keep your car and your budget running smooth.
That's more like it.
Hi, I'm Kenny with Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. My father started this business over 30 years ago, and we continue to proudly serve the Gulf Coast with trusted local service. Whether you're a first-time or returning customer, we inspect each vehicle like it's our own. From oil changes, engine replacements, and diagnostics, our certified techs do it right the first time. Fast, honest, and fair, just like auto service should be. So if your car needs care, bring it to Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze, a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo. Visit us at AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com and schedule your appointment today. That's AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com. Affordable Automotive. Quality you can afford.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thank you, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve, especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions, because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you. On your phone, on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, who we talk to every week at this time. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Hey, before we get going on big stuff, downtown Palafox, any update? Are we on track, behind schedule, ahead of schedule? When I talked to Bruce Woody from ECUA, he indicated that the work they were doing to put in new water mains or new water pipes was actually going a little bit faster than expected. Any update?
No, other than no, May 24th, still the deadline, but we're on time. Everything is, knock on wood, going, as planned and as urgently as possible. And I'm glad, everybody in the community's gotten to see, not just hear it from the mayor or hear it from staff. When you go down there, you can see how diligent they are about getting this thing done. And so people are able to see that with their own eyes.
Excellent. And by the way, I love the little piece about how you've made them make spaces in the curtaining so that you can see through and watch the work. I love that. Like, you know, kids watching or adults watching or whatever. That's a very cool thing. All right. Well, the big news, obviously. Yeah, I'll forget to mention if I don't. Tomorrow night, State of the City address. You're going to be giving the annual address at Bayview. Is 6 o'clock? What time?
Yep. Six o'clock at Bayview. It's free. They are asking people to register. That's only just really for headcount, make sure there's enough chairs out. So I know people are like, it's a public event, and simply put, you're more than welcome to show up without, but it certainly helps the volunteers that are putting it on if they can just know that you're coming. So if you go to CivicCon, you can just register. Doesn't cost anything, takes 10 seconds. But if you can't get to that, still feel free to come on.
Obviously, the big news of the day is that last night you announced your decision to go with the police chief from Grand Rapids, Chief Winstrom. I know that it's being discussed primarily as over Chief Goss, who is the acting deputy chief right now. There was a third candidate in this mix as well, but, you know, since it was kind of this one or that one, it kind of gets lost. But you wrote a letter to PP, and I kind of, at the 5 o'clock hour, if people want to go back and listen to it, I give you my analysis of this, and I was not surprised. I thought you might go this direction, and I also assumed that it was a very difficult decision for you to make because you know what the union has said, and you know what the locals are often saying, and you know Chief Goss, and nobody wants to tell a person, hey, we're going to go with somebody else when, you know, you've worked with them for a long time. But you made this decision. What were you thinking?
Well, you know, really, there's so many complexities you just outlined, a lot of those complexities that make – a decision, specifically the decision of a chief of police for any mayor, is arguably one of the most important that you make. Really what this is rooted in is fairly simple when you take away all of those complexities, which is I wanted to put the person that is best fit for the job today in this job. And, you know, what I've really harped on with family when we talked about this, obviously people see and understand the gravity of this decision, is that we should always, if you on my election day yesterday, last year, last month, the goal should always be whatever the decision is made that increases what I believe to be our public safety outcome here in the city. So this isn't a internal versus an external candidate. We're going to be able to bring in someone, and certainly this is not necessarily the case with the previous external chief. We're bringing someone with chief experience that can come in and hit the ground running in that respect, and also who has done that before. He came from Chief Winstrom went from Chicago to Grand Rapids as an external candidate, so he's been through that process. Because listen, a lot of the challenges of an external candidate are no different in any city. meaning you got to get to know the folks in the building and earn their trust and all of those things. And certainly I know that Winsome knows how to do that. And so it really comes down to that. And certainly Eric Goss is an absolute cornerstone of our department, as I wrote to the officers. He'll be a chief here one day. But I think this gives us an opportunity with between the departure of Chief Randall and the unexpected retirement of Deputy Chief Chrisman, where we kind of had a lack of temporarily kind of a lack of depth of organizational leadership. This gives us an opportunity to restack the deck. And as I told our officers, I hope the next 20 police chiefs are all internal candidates. I totally understand the value of that. But that doesn't change the dynamics of what we're in today. And what we're in today is we didn't have that type of depth that I'd like to see. And to be honest, Andrew, I feel like some of the shortcomings that we had in the previous regime was not whether where that person was from. I think it was the lack of organizational leadership that came in. So that's what I was looking to correct, is to bring us the most chief leadership we could possibly have. And I certainly think Chief Winsome fits that bill.
Yeah, and I also think, and we'll talk about this in a second, but I think that, you know, one of the things that made the decision harder for you, I'm sure, is that, you know, you had to deal with the perception that, well, you know, we tried an outsider already and it didn't work very well. And so how dare you try an outsider again? And, you know, well, you know, is that because it's their outsider, or is that because of the nature of the candidates and the alternatives? And, you know, Chrisman versus Randall is not Goss versus Winstrom. And, you know, it's important to keep those distinctions. Hang on for just a second, Mr. Mayor. We got John Pickens with traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now. But if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 9-minute delay. And Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, I expect about an 18-minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, Eric. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves on the Pensacola Police Chief announcement from yesterday that the Grand Rapids Police Chief Eric Winstrom will be the next chief of police. D.C., I think, you know, I see a lot of things online. I see a lot of the concerns people are raising, and I understand the concerns, you know, things like this is discouraging to officers growing up in the ranks, which you addressed that in your letter, saying that you hope that the rest, you know, get there. The feeling like it was somehow a snub against Chief Goss, who, of course, I think the real issue there is that he just doesn't have the kind of experience running an agency that obviously Winstrom has. But one of the interesting notes that I have seen, even though Winstrom obviously comes from having run organizations within Chicago PD that were 2 and 3 and 4 times as big as PPD, and then at Grand Rapids, it's like double PPD. I think the one thing I see that's interesting to me is people are saying, well, how do we know that a guy from the North, how do we know that a Yankee, you know, a guy from Michigan and Chicago, gosh, I was born in Detroit and lived in Chicago for a long time. How do we know that somebody like that will pick up the culture of our community, let alone be a leader in the police force? How do you answer that objection or that concern?
Listen, that's the least of my concern after several conversations. When you have somebody that's this level of a professional that understands how to interact with the community and how to and that trust is earned in this community, not that it's given because you're wearing the police chief uniform. I have, so individually, the Chief Winsome, I have absolutely zero concern about any of this culture. You know, like you said, kind of stereotype that if you've lived in one place, you somehow won't, you know, translate to another place. That would be pretty stubborn and egotistical on the side of any external chief to say, you know, we're going to now run this operation like a place of which I don't live. I don't think that, you know, it is about adapting. I'm sure Grand Rapids was way different than Chicago. I'm sure that was the case. And Pensacola is going to be different than Grand Rapids. So, you know, that, the onus is on myself, or the obligation is on myself, to make sure that if we're going to hire an external candidate, somebody that can translate here. So to give any notion that that isn't something considered, or we didn't think of that. And listen, I don't think the military, when you move people around for mission, they ask, did you come from a culture that's like the next base that you go to? Or I don't think the NFL asks where their head coach was born to ensure that they meet the culture in New England or Los Angeles or Dallas. I think at the end of the day, we've got to get the best leadership in here, and the best leadership works that out without an issue. So I have no concern over that, both individually with Chief Winstrom in my several conversations with him, and secondly, with our awesome police department. I fully expect, I don't, to act as if like our police department is not going to act professionally or that this is going to be a concern. Listen, I'm sure some folks are disappointed in the building and I addressed that in the letter. I certainly understand that. But we've got pros at this department. I'm so proud of this department all the time, not just in a police chief search, but you know, I get to see the amazing work and hear about the amazing work they do every day. Maybe there's some temporary disappointment. I fully expect the professionalism level at our department, that is also a non-issue to help blend in with this kind of culture issue stereotype.
You know, one of the things I think there's always the safety of the known, right? He's, you know, we know Chief Goss, we know what he's capable of. He's well-liked. He's, you know, got all the relationships and all that kind of stuff. And you have, you know, obviously there's a little bit of an unknown when you're talking about somebody coming in from the outside. But, you know, when I was trying to think about how you're thinking about this and what it is you're trying to accomplish, it seems to me like the appeal of a Chief Winstrom is that he has such vast experience in so many different environments, whether it's working the projects or working child crimes or having a lawyer in his background and working on writing the consent decree for the city of Chicago. Like those are, I mean, that's a tremendously wide variety of skill sets, including the leadership. It seems to me like you were probably thinking, how can I turn down the opportunity to bring somebody with these kinds of qualifications and skills in to make a really, really good police force even better in ways we don't even yet know we can be better? Is that the way you were thinking about this?
Yeah, and not to, you know, keep going with a sports analogy, it'll be my last one, but I mean, yeah, if we're building a roster of talent at our city, at our department, in any department, the idea is to add as much talent as we possibly can to the department to make it successful. That's not really oversimplifying it, I think. And listen, there was lots of variables in a process like this, not just the interviews and the interview panels and the discussions around that, or, you know, with community members, all of those things. You don't know what candidates are going to come in, what their skill sets are going to be. That's with any job, that especially a high profile one like this. So you know, coming into this, we don't know anything. We don't know what we don't know about what was going to happen. But as we went through the process, certainly being able to add someone with that experience level and that caliber of expertise. And again, I want to reiterate, someone who has already transitioned from a community of which he is unknown as a chief.
Yeah.
And was able to show marked improvement in terms of the amount of officers that they were down at Grand Rapids before, you know, or after he left, or you know, with the position they're in today, versus where when you got there. So he's been able to prove that that type of success. And so, you know, I really want to understate that was a big decision point with Chief Winstrom, was not just being an external candidate with lots of experience, but an external candidate with lots of experience who's also been through this process, which is complex, as yeah. we know.
And I will say this, you know, to your face or to your ear, I suppose, you know, I think this was a pretty courageous decision. It would have been much easier to pick Chief Goss. I think that, you know, you must have been really, really sure that this was the better choice. It would have been, you know, it's politically risky. It's going to make people angry. It's the easiest thing in the world for you to have done would have been to say, you know, OK, good, I'm fine. You know, let's just go with the safe candidate. And so I respect that you made a choice that you think is the best for the city, even if it costs you or even if people, you know, yell at you. And also, just as a side note, we do have a new police chief in Milton who's from Vermont, Chief Frank, and she has been doing fantastic. So, you know, the possibility of somebody coming in from the outside and working in a completely new environment, even in the South, you know, it can work. And so we're hopeful for that. And of course, he's going to be at the press conference today at 10. We'll have him on the air. I'm going to do an interview with him that we'll have on the air for tomorrow. But I'm looking forward to getting to know him. And, you know, I really do think that kind of like, you know, now the decision's been made and let's make the decision right. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round. Quick questions for you. Does your family do jigsaw puzzles?
Yes. But they usually will get halfway done and then they sit on the dining room table for like a week. And
okay.
Then we might finish it out depending on how much time we
do
have.
Do you ever quit?
It's kind of like an ADD version.
Do you ever quit a jigsaw puzzle because it's too hard?
Yeah, but I don't let the family know. Like, I, you know, I just like kind of quietly leave the room, you know, and let them see how, what kind of progress they made. And I come back and check and see if I want to get back into it, you know.
What's the coolest thing you can ever remember making with Legos?
Oh, man. My daughter's big into Legos now, so it's been a refresher for me. Yeah, we had some of the sets where it was like the entire city, not like the ones you see at like the museum, obviously, like the little one. And I remember what a big deal it was that you could even have like cars and stuff that moved on track.
Yeah.
With Legos. That was kind of, yeah, that was.
Wait, so the mayor of Pensacola was building Lego sets of cities as a kid? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I'm going to add that to my re-election bio.
Lego Master Builder. And last one, and this is right. The most important one. What kind of cheese goes on a regular old ground beef taco?
Just a beef taco? I mean, I guess you got to go Mexican three cheese. You said ground beef taco, not burger, right?
Right. Ground beef taco. So
yeah, no,
Mexican
I mean,
three what,
is there? What do you put on there?
Oh, I'd like cheddar. Cheddar's a safe answer, but I like Monterey Jack too. But you know, you judge people by their food choices, I think fairly or unfairly. So I just wanted to make sure you're within the range.
I let the grocery store decide for me. Whatever one says Mexican cheese on it, it's whatever those three cheeses are.
They must know best because it's right there on the label. Okay, I got you. DC, Mr. Mayor DC Reeves, look forward to talking to you again next week. Thank you for the time. State of the City is tomorrow night, 6 o'clock at Bayview. Please register online, and then City Council meeting we'll have next week as well. We'll look forward to talking to you then. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You bet. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident free right now. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect a 7-minute delay. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, expect a 12-minute delay. And we're seeing some delays on Brent Lane going eastbound toward 9th Avenue. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
You know, sometimes you go into a store, let's say a hardware store, but any kind of store. And in the old days, you would go to the store to get the expert to help you figure something out. And then after a while, you kind of realize that you probably knew as much as they did. So you kind of didn't ask them anymore. And they might ask you, do you need help? And you're like, I'm good. You know, that kind of thing. Nowadays, almost you kind of assume you do know more. And so you don't bother asking. Well, at Pensacola Hardware, it's not like that. At Pensacola Hardware, they know. They really know. I mean, they have been doing this. I mean, obviously, you know, not Martin and Jimmy, but they, you know, and Mansfield, they have been doing this for 170 years. Like since before the Civil War, they have been around helping people just like you, individual homeowners or contractors and builders or anywhere in between, solve problems, find the right equipment, know how to use it safely, basically get the thing done that you want to get done. They are literally the experts. They know how to do it. They speak your language. You won't need a translator if you're a building professional. You won't need a translator if you're a normal person either. They can speak to everybody, and they want to help you get it right. If you walk around town and you see things that were, you know, older, 50, 100 years old, they were built by Pensacola Hardware Supplies, almost guaranteed. Helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since before the Civil War, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Managing your ECUA service is about to get a whole lot easier. Coming up on February 16th, the new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. So download My ECUA starting February 16th and take control of your services anytime, anywhere. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
He's not even a football player. That's stupid.
Stupid is a mean word.
Did I really call you Eric?
You did.
That's so funny.
Two police like, thanks,
chiefs,
Eric.
Two police chiefs, Eric on the brain right now. One's a K, one's a C. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the government shutdown is over, at least for now. The House narrowly passing a massive spending package on Tuesday, clearing more than $1 trillion to fund most government operations. Homeland Security, though, left out for the moment. They'll run on a two-week stopgap measure as Democrats are still pushing for added limits on immigration enforcement.
If you write a $1 trillion check but you get the wrong number of zeros, does the bank correct your mistake, or do they leave it at 100? $40 billion or $14 trillion.
If it's the government, that's just a rounding error.
Yeah, that's all that is. That's, you know, that's just... I'd like to see Trump, instead of signing his name, sign one of those checks. By the way, thanks so much for the news report, Eric.